This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words for love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
Often one will fail to appreciate the extent God has gone and will go for His peoples. And Dr. Wyatt will relate an event in Peter's life that changes everything.
Thank you, Dennis. I am using Sharon's reading from the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, and I hope to highlight just what is the great mystery of our faith, that this all is to the Gentiles also. I hope you will stay tuned.
And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism, which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness, and everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name."
Thank you, Sharon, so very much. This reading from Luke's Acts of the Apostles records Peter's fourth message or sermon, and is quite a pivotal message, for it will overcome the barrier that separates Gentiles from Jews and from full access to God, at least as the Jews perceived it. It had to be Peter, the obvious leader of the 12, and the one man who could first cross this barrier publicly and completely. There had been one deacon, Nicholas, a Gentile, but he was a proselyte, doing all that Judaism required to become Jewish. Philip had brought the word to the Samaritans with great results, but they at least endeavored to worship the God of Israel, even if it was in their own way, and most could actually claim some Jewish heritage. And the Ethiopian eunuch brought to saving faith by this same Philip, but he came to worship in Jerusalem. He believed in the God of Israel, but would be denied full participation because of his physical condition. But this is now to Romans, a centurion, yes, a God-fearer to be sure, but one with sure roots in paganism and a part of the hated occupying force. Peter has to be prepared for this very large step, a vision asking Peter to eat unclean or non-kosher food, and then being told, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And when those from Cornelius arrive, the Spirit tells Peter, "Behold, three men are looking for you," and that he is to go with them. "For," the Spirit says, "I have sent them." Cornelius, of course, had been prepared as well. An angel appeared during his mid-afternoon prayers and tells him to send for Simon, called Peter, who is lodging with a tanner in Joppa by the seaside. That is the city just south of the Roman city of Caesarea. Peter's preparation will be completed when he hears Cornelius' story personally, and that relatives and close friends have gathered in the sight of God to hear all that you, Peter, have been commanded by the Lord. Given such an opportunity, despite Peter's cultural reluctance, with his own vision and command to go with these men, and hearing of Cornelius' own angelic vision, literally Peter opens his mouth and says, "Truly, I am coming to realize that God shows no partiality, or that God has no favorites." The Greek word is literally lifter of faces, that is, to show favoritism, and is only used here in the entire New Testament. And we must realize what a radical revelation this was to Peter, despite it being part of the teachings of the early prophets, that God's choice of Israel was an act of grace, not partiality, and called for Israel to bring this light to the Gentiles. Now, this was to become a reality in a way undeniable as well as unbelievable to many of those of the way or the Christians in Jerusalem. Cornelius was ideal. He was clearly devout with a God-given faith that found expression in godly living. Still, he needed to hear of this Jesus, accept him as the expected one, thereby receiving the blessings of faith in him. And with this, we are to learn that it is not who one is, what is his occupation, bank account, race, nationality, or class. It is not that this Roman is any way justified or converted, at least not yet. Yet he is what God has always sought, those open, eager, desiring of the truth. Peter will express his discomfort, first at having Cornelius fall at his feet, for as Peter says, "I too am a man," and then expressing the Jewish dislike with associating or even visiting those who are not observant Jews. Yet Peter has to admit now openly that God has gone to great lengths to impress upon him that, as he will say, "that I should not call anyone impure or unclean." And now, as Cornelius says, "we are all here present in the sight of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." One never had a more eager or expecting audience. They certainly all know of Cornelius's vision. They were his friends and kinsmen or relatives. And the offer for Peter to speak never had greater weight, for it is believed to be God's word alone. No wonder Peter will begin with a single word of explanation. "Truly I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Peter's previous conceptions, even prejudices, have been dealt a severe blow. Such is not all that uncommon. The former University of Alabama football coach Bear Bryant knew America had changed, and the South would have to if his football team was ever to compete again for the national championship. So he arranged with his good friend John McKay to have their two teams compete in Alabama. McKay's USC team had black players. Coach Bryant pressed for it in the face of irrational and age-old prejudices. He knew that for what he loved to succeed, that is football, people had to change. The same exists even in our faith of Christianity. A dear pastor who saw me as the son he never had attended a conference years ago where I served as the assistant pastor. In attendance were Catholic priests and nuns who had experienced the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues. This pastor, raised in staunch Protestantism and dealing with decades of continuous combat and theological conflict, had his perceptions turned upside down, seeing the sincere love of Christ and deep sense of the Spirit in those he previously believed it was not even possible. Such walls of separation, of deep-seated cultural, even religious sensibilities and years of training are often in error, and God has to go to extreme measures to even have us reconsider our previous stance. We think we know what is right, but as in the case here of Peter, he has come to realize that God shows no partiality. It comes down to what we believe of Christ Jesus, how we live out that belief. You may think you are totally correct, that you know best, but more often than we might wish. If we're listening, God will show us where we have missed our mark. Peter had the courage, at this point at least, to realize God's hand has brought him this far. So he shares the story of Jesus. We have but a summary of what was said. Believe me, the apostolic sermons were not a couple of minutes. They could preach into the wee hours of the morning, as Scripture relates. But what Luke records are a summary of what Peter said, full of Aramaicisms, which do translate awkwardly into Greek, of Christ as Lord of all, his healing and delivering those oppressed of the devil, and that he, Peter, among others, are eyewitnesses to all that he did. Something Peter feels that these Gentiles may be aware of, as Peter says, "You know, the word which he sent to Israel, the word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, that he was put to death on a tree." The Greek here is zoulon, actually meaning a stake or wooden pole, a place of execution. And the Jewish law pronounced that a man so executed is accursed by God, Deuteronomy 21:23. He had been inflicted with the most severe disgrace, but God had raised him on the third day and exalted him, and many were witness to it. And they ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Luke has recorded this eating in his own gospel and finds it a convincing proof that this was no mystical phantom, but reality. And Peter states that Jesus commanded us to preach to the people, us meaning those witnesses to all that Jesus had done, and to testify to the fact that he is ordained to be judge of the living and dead. In this, Jesus is what the prophets prophesied about, and that all who believe in him receive forgiveness of sin through his name. Meaning that such forgiveness, salvation in other words, is possible only in Christ Jesus. Peter probably would have gone on to mention the coming blessing of the Holy Spirit, but while Peter is still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all who were hearing the word. How did they know? Because they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. The circumcision party, as described here, who traveled with Peter, were amazed. It was obviously unexpected, and clearly none of the Jewish believers, perhaps not even Peter, would have readily accepted the Spirit coming upon the Gentiles. But it is now a reality. Gentiles, those without the law, the uncircumcised, what to most Jews were considered less than mongrels, wild dogs. But now there is no mention of faith, redemption, or salvation, although we can assume it is implied in their reception of the Spirit, for they received, as Peter declares, the Holy Spirit just as we have. So who can forbid water for baptizing? There is no tarrying or waiting. No laying on of apostolic hands, or any hands for that matter, but the Spirit fell on them regardless. I don't believe it is any stretch of our imagination to believe if Peter and the others had not been confronted with the reality of this event that he would have pushed now for their baptism, let alone their infilling. It was a divine act, God's doing, his initiative, as Peter will say when confronted by the leaders of the church in Jerusalem, "Who was I to hinder God?" God prepared the people, prepared Peter, and the results are always such. It is He that removes barriers, tears down the walls, would create in Himself one new people. This demonstration of the Spirit's infilling was necessary, for it proved that God's purpose is intended for all. Nor are we confined to any stiff regiments. Those on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem were called upon to repent and then be baptized in order to receive the Spirit. Here in Caesarea, while still hearing the word, they received the Spirit and then are baptized. Granted, it had to be that way. For Philip in Samaria, where they believed and were baptized in water, there were wonderful signs of healing. But receiving the Spirit would only occur after Peter and John laid hands on them. The Spirit's infilling is God's doing. We are simply to fill in the gaps, fill in understanding, provide water baptism and discipling. Too often we expect things to be in a familiar style, but God never moves always in the same way. Every great revival in history has been different from the previous one. Here God moved to destroy a barrier in men's minds as to who is eligible, who is a proper respondent. It is something He often will have to do, for we are always reluctant, ill at ease with things we are uncomfortable with, be it in other types of people, other strange or uncomfortable types of believers. Their theology may seem strange or confusing to us. But who are we to say God can't move and bestow His Spirit on such? I have worked in a number of denominations, fellowshipped with many others, and always found sincere believers dedicated to Christ, often displaying more fruits of the Spirit than those of, say, my own group. Passionate displays, great signs are one thing, and often, as here, necessary. But what is consistent is the desire for truth, a living God, and one faith that stands apart from all others, that is established in historical and personal evidence, that is above all not exclusionary to any group. For as with Peter, I am persuaded that our God shows no partiality. O, our precious Lord, expand our thinking and our vision, that we can see Thy hand at work in different people and in different groups and in different lands and in different ways. Let us never be confined to the way we do it, but understand that God can and does move in diverse ways. For He would bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, all for His own glory and the glory of His Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Peter's visit to the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius did indeed change the Christian church forever. But then that was always God's intent. Not another Judaic party, but an entirely new movement that would fulfill and complete what the Messiah intended. To further help or increase your understanding of what is to be the Christian church, Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his book, The Bride of the Lamb. Here is scripturally presented the nature, purpose, and destiny of God's true church. Just write and ask for The Bride of the Lamb. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, there are hardly words to tell you how much we appreciate all of our wonderful friends of this worldwide ministry. Your prayers and, of course, your gifts make this ministry and this broadcast possible, and we cannot thank you enough. You do mean so much to the Wings of Healing. We sincerely mean that. So do continue to remember the radio ministry, our many foreign outreaches, the music, and the literature that is made available worldwide. It is with your help and with God that we are able to bring you these things. So please let us hear from you. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 342. 224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. God's purpose will be achieved. It will happen. We just are to be open to all its ramifications. As Helen of Tacoma, Washington, discovered, Dr. Wyatt, I have been praying for years over misunderstandings with my family. It was the cause of much pain and anger. I felt the need to just confess this all to my sister, and she immediately embraced my hope. We went to our brother, and it just went so well. We cried and laughed and embraced each other. It just seemed so miraculous. I can only thank God. We are with you, Helen. In His timing, in His way, we can see amazing results. And if you have any requests, do write. Dennis will give our addresses once more. But now Virgil comes to perform another of Robert's wonderful compositions, Use Me. And until next week, do allow our Lord to use you.
When I come into the presence of the Lord to seek His holy wisdom and grace for guidance to lift up my soul and strength channel for your love and peace, so all may know the wonder of your majesty and grace. Use me, O Lord, use me. And when day's done, succeed to follow Jesus, to take His lead. He gently calls me to His side, and in His love I abide. Channel for your love and peace, so all may know the wonder of your majesty and grace. Use me, O Lord, use me.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt is offering this week a copy of his book, The Bride of the Lamb. This is a brief and scriptural look at just what is the church and what that really means. This is a wonderful study and can be yours at no charge. Just write and ask for The Bride of the Lamb. Our address is our Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.
The Wyatt is